Everyone there? 1 John chapter 5. Tonight we'll be on verse 20, but why don't we start reading at verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. And He will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Okay, so now, if you remember from last week, John is finishing up here with one more verse to go with three we knows. The first one was that verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin and that we are kept in God. The second we know was verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We have confidence knowing that, number one, that whoever is born of God does not sin, that we are kept. We cannot and will not fall away from God. So there's a security, right? There's the perseverance of the saints. He keeps us. We know that we are of God. We know that we are His children, and we will always be His children. So verse 20, let's read it one more time. The third and final we know from John's epistle here. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true. This is the true God and eternal life. And we know that the Son has come and has given us an understanding. So Jesus has come, right? This is the whole thing from chapter 1, verse 1, that John has been combating here, right? He's reminding us over and over that Jesus did come in the flesh. God revealed in man, right? As a baby, born as a baby. So Jesus, we know that the Son of God has come. It's not just some rumor, it's just not a story written, but Jesus did come. And that's why he reminds us, turn to 1 John chapter 1. Flip over back there real quick. John writes from the very beginning of this book, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. So John is saying here that this man, Jesus, God, we have seen, we've heard, we've touched, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Back over to chapter 5, verse 9 through 12. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Remember, God's witness is far greater than man's, because man is fallen, whereas God is not fallen. For God's witness is even, it's perfect. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So he's making the point here that, okay, if you did not know before, I'm telling you again, we know. We absolutely have confidence. We are assured of that the Son of God has come. He did come. He has come. We've seen Him. We've heard Him. We've touched Him. Don't make any other bones about it as what the Gnostics are doing, right? They're saying, It just appeared as if Jesus had a physical body, but he really didn't. It was just some, you know, weird-looking ghost thing that you could put your hand through. It just appeared. But John's saying, no, he did come in the flesh. And this is his third and final we know. We know. We're not speculating, but we know that the Son of God has come, okay? And what has he come for? And has given us an understanding. Christ has come and he has given us an understanding. So that is an intelligence or insight, such as in 2 Corinthians 4:6, which says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus." In other words, just as when God said, "Let there be light," it was darkness, full darkness. And God said, "Let there be light," and the light was shown. Well, the same thing is, that's exactly what the understanding means in our hearts. We were in darkness. We could not see. And God gave us understanding. God gave us insight to believe. He's the one that gave us the light to believe in Him. So that applies. In a word, there was no light. It was darkness. That's exactly how our hearts were. We were in darkness. And what does darkness mean in the spiritual sense? Death. Right? Not knowing where we were going. Lost. Without hope. Until God, shining the light, giving us the light to see that we are sinners. So that is what Christ has come and done. He has given us an understanding. Okay? So Calvin writes on that. "And Christ is said to have given us an understanding, not only because he shows us in the gospel what sort of being is the true God, and also illuminates us by his Spirit, but because in Christ himself we have God manifested in the flesh." We know that the Son of God has come. We see him. And what has he come to do? To give us an understanding. To give us life. He is the light that was given to us. We were in darkness. We were lost. He has come and has given us life. He is the ultimate light. He continues then. "And it must be observed that this gift is peculiar to the elect. Christ indeed kindles for all indiscriminately the torch that is the light of his gospel. But all have not the eyes of their minds open to see it." In other words, this is like a general revelation. The gospel has gone out into the whole world. You know, you have missionaries who are out there preaching the word. And in most countries, the Bible has gone out. Okay, so it's not as if, you know, well, only a few people got a chance to receive the Bible. He's saying here that the Bible has gone out. But yet, not all have their spiritual eyes opened up. And that's what this understanding is. God has given us special privilege to those who he has chosen, the elect, that their eyes would be opened up, that we would have understanding to see God, to have salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'll read it one more time. "It must be observed that this gift is peculiar to the elect. Christ indeed kindles for all indiscriminately the torch, the light of his gospel. But all have not the eyes of their minds opened to see it." So this should cause in us, his children, to be grateful and thankful. For when we were blind and could not see, could not understand, we did not know where we were going, Christ opened our eyes so that we could see him, and that we could have salvation, and that we could have life, and could have understanding, and follow him, our Savior. So shouldn't that cause in us a gratefulness? Shouldn't that cause obedience in our life to say that, "God, I was blind. I did not have salvation. I was in darkness. But you, O God, you sent your Son to die for me so that I could have understanding, that I could have salvation." You, God, through your Spirit, have revealed yourself to me, have opened my eyes, have shined the light in my heart. Thus, I have you as my God. Now I can call out to you, Abba, Father. You see what this does to Christians, to those he has drawn to himself, to those that he has brought to himself? See, we were far off, and he brought you to himself. He gave you understanding. He qualified you to be in his family because we were in darkness. We could not find our way to his family. And that's why the disciples ask, Lord, who then can be saved? In John 6, they're asking, who can be saved then? And his response, with men, this is impossible. What is salvation? With men, salvation is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Salvation is of God. And so this should cause us, every day that we wake up, to be thankful for some reason that he would choose me. You know, we can waste our time saying, you know, well, that's not fair for Joe or Bill or Mary. Or, you know, why did he not pick that person? You know what? Thank you, God, for choosing a sinner like me. Now I will follow you all of my days. I will let people see you in my life. This is what it should cause us to do. We know that the Son of God, we know. There should be no doubts. Do we doubt that Jesus came in the flesh? Do we doubt that he was born a babe and grew to be a man and suffered and died? Do we doubt that he died and rose again? That is our faith. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Salvation. Why? What's the understanding for? That we may know him who is true. That we may know him who is true. Know, in the Greek, is the perfect here. And it implies a completed action. Plus, it is also the present active, meaning that we will continue to know. Okay? Thus, if it's a present active, we know him and will continue to know him. It's not as if, well, we knew him. Okay? But it's present active, so we will continue to know him who is true. Thus, it is in the perfect sense, it is completed. We know him. We have a relationship with him. And we will continue to know him. We will continue to have a relationship with him. Why? Because his seed remains in it and remains in us, as his word tells us. Okay? So, that we may know him who is true. Him who is true is referring to God here. For to know Jesus is to know who? To know God. The one true God. As opposed to the false teachers or idols, which we'll talk about next week. This is the true God. There is no other God. So we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Why? That we may know him. Because we can't get to the Father but through the Son. So here's the understanding, that we may know him who is absolute and perfectly true. Remember earlier in 1 John when we read that there is no darkness in him. There is no sin in him. God is true. And how else can you describe that? He is pure. He is just. He is holy. He alone is to be feared. And so we know that Christ has come and given us understanding, that we may know him, that we may have a relationship with God, that we can pray to God, right? John, you don't have to turn there. John 20:28 says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Romans 9:5. Of whom are the fathers and from father according to the flesh? Christ came, who is over all, the eternal blessed God. So these verses are saying there that Jesus, who came, is God. And we may know God. To know Jesus is to know God. God revealed in the flesh. And so if we know Jesus, we know God. If we deny Jesus, we deny God. And so he did come to give us an understanding that we may know him who is true. John 17:21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, who is true, meaning the only true God. Not fiend like idols spoken of, but this is spoken of what is true in itself. He is genuine, real. That's what true means here. It's that which is genuine. It is real, as opposed to that which is false. And we'll get more into that next week. So, furthermore, continuing on now. And we are in him who is true. Okay, so let's read it. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us what?
Understanding.
Why? That we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. Okay, this seems to express the manner of our union with God. Okay, so we know that the Son of God has come to give us an understanding that we may know him. Through Christ, our salvation is complete. Why? Because we have forgiveness of sins. There is our hope. There is our life. There is our sins forgiven. That we may know God through him. Okay? And we are in him who is true. What this means is, this shows that our relationship, our intimate relationship with God, we are in him who is true. Who is true? God and God only. Nothing else is true. He is the only thing that matters. That's why he tells us to love him with all of our heart. Not to love other things, such as idols he's referring to. But God only. He alone is true. He alone is the only thing that should be important in your life. Now, I'm not saying that your spouse is not important, your family is not important, but far more, God alone. He is the one true God. The thing that should take precedence in our life. The thing that we would deny everything for. The one true thing that should be number one in our lives. When we wake up in the morning, he should be our thought. When we're throughout the day, we should be thinking about God. You know, I was thinking of, there's, you know, I work with a fellow Christian and a fellow pastor. And, you know, we have many great discussions, and he was telling me about, you know, some of his Wednesday night services. Or actually, it's kind of more of like a Bible study. But as I view this church, I see in them, there's a lot of young people, they're like college age, but I see in them this hunger, this desire, this true love for God. And I'm not saying I don't see that here, okay? That's not what I'm saying, but I was pondering about that today, and I was like, look at these young believers. They have such a love for God that it's attractive. And it caused me to think that, why don't all Christians have this love for God? Why is it that we don't think of him as the one true thing? And if we truly did, then we too would have this great love for Him, that we would want to know Him as much as we could, that we would want to be memorizing Scripture as much as we could. Should not His children want to just have this love that is so great? And so I look to them and I think that's the way it should be. And I'm not implying that they're perfect by any means. But what I do see in them is this love that they have for God. And some of you who know them probably can testify to this. And it probably even rubs off a little bit. But when Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of our heart, that is what I see. That God, the one true God, is first in their lives and should be in ours, His children. For He is true. He is genuine. He is real. So, family, fellow children, the one thing we have in common is that He is our God. Let us just have this love for Him that is so real. Pray for that God, give me, help me. I want to love You with everything that I am, everything that I have. I want You to be my thoughts. I want You to be my actions. God, You have saved me. I was in darkness. You have given me light. You have opened my eyes. My God, I love You. And with everything that I have, I am going to serve You. All of us in here should have this love for Him. That we can't wait to get in the Scriptures. Why? To know Him more and more and more and build on that relationship with Him more and more, that our love for Him continues to grow and grow. He is true. And He is the one that we are to love with all of our hearts. So together as a family, let's love our God and let's love each other. Let our love for God be attractive to those around you. You know what I'm saying? For those of you in public school, let the world, let those who are in darkness see your love for God. And so they can say, wow, praise be to God. Look at how they live their life. And the same thing applies for those in homeschool or whatever. Let everyone around us see our love for God, that they will glorify Him. Even fellow believers, let our fellow believers see our true love for God, showing that we know what it means. They can see in our life that we know that Christ has come. We know that He has given us understanding. We know that we are in Him who is true. Do people see us and say, you know what? They live a life that shows that they have a security in God. Their life shows that they are of Him. Why? Because we read and we study. And we read verse 18 that says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Praise You, God. I am not going to fall back into a lifestyle of sin. You are going to keep me. God, I love You. Because if it was up to me, I would fall. And then when I read verse 19, I know that I am of God. And a few verses back, I read that the wicked one cannot touch me. What should this cause in me? A love for God and what He has done and is doing for me. Verse 20, I know that the Son of God has come. I believe that. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh, and I know that He has given me an understanding, salvation, life, light. Why? That I can know Him who is true. And we are, I am assured of, that I am of Him who is true. I am not of the wicked one, who is false, who is darkness, who is no hope. But I, you, we are of Him who is true. That should cause us to say, my Father, thank you. What a blessed assurance this is. Three verses, but yet full of assurances that we are His children and we will continue to be His children. Why? Because He keeps us. While the world lies under the sway of the wicked one, we have life in Him. You see how this should cause us to love Him all the more? And we are in Him who is true. Even His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Not only to have life everlasting to worship God, but the meaning here is also referring to Christ. If we look at 1 John 1:2, it says this, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So what does eternal life mean here? It's referring to Jesus. Eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So, this is the true God and eternal life. Now, some claim that this is not referring to Jesus. But it says here, when we read, and we are in Him who is true, even, it should be translated, even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what? And eternal life. Showing the deity of Christ here. That Christ is God. He is God. God incarnate. God in the flesh. He is not just some man. He is not just some great prophet. He's God. And that's what this is saying here. Even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. And this is eternal life. He is eternal life in the sense that in Him lies eternal life, but He also is eternal life. Again, thus proving the deity of our Lord and Savior. So this wraps up the three assurances, as I like to call them. The three we know. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. This we know. Do you understand? This we know. We should not be confused about this. This is what His Word is telling us. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. This we know. We are assured of that we don't lie under the sway of the wicked one no longer. We formerly did, but we do not longer anymore. Third, we know. We know that the Son of God has come. Do we know this? Do we know that Jesus has come as a man? Did Christ come in the flesh? Yes. How do we know? Because God tells us in His Word. And whose witness do we rely on? God's. Why? Because God's witness is far greater than man's witness. His testimony is far greater than man's testimony. And so in faith, we believe this. And where does that faith even come from? It is a gift from God to even believe in Him. So we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. Thank you, God, for keeping me. Thank you, God, for assuring me that I am of You. I am born of You. In His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Let's pray. Oh God, You are so good. And You have assured our hearts tonight through Your Word. Knowing that if we are born of God, we cannot sin. And that the wicked one cannot touch us. We are assured of this through Your Word. And we know, God, that while the world is under the influence of the wicked one, as and we remember from last week that this implies as an animal who is under intoxication, who has been impaled with some kind of medicine, and he is limp and has no power. And so we are thankful that we are not under that influence. We are not under that intoxication of the wicked one. You have freed us from that. And so we know this. We know that we are of You. And we know, God, that You have sent Your Son. That Jesus did come in the flesh, born as a babe. Why? Because Your testimony of this is true. And Your precious, true Word tells us that we, they have seen, heard, our hands have handled. And so our hearts are assured. And we believe that You have sent Your only begotten Son to be fully God, yet fully man. For the sole purpose to give us understanding. That is, to suffer and die, that we can have forgiveness of sins, that we can know You who are true. And so through Your Son, we have life. We have light. We have understanding. And we have salvation. And we have a relationship with You. And now, oh God, we know. Through these things, we know that we are of You. Where else would we want to be but with You, who is true? And so, Lord, cause in us a great appreciation to You. Cause in us a great love for You, realizing all that You have done for us and all that You do for us. And let our love to You be attractive not only to the world, but let it be attractive to other believers, that they would see our sincere love for our God, the one true God. Lord, help me to have this love. Help me to love You more. You alone are true. And You alone shall we love with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.